Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Without a healthy mind, being happy is hard. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny and see if online therapy is for you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Games Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the future class of video games, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
What's up, Greg?
Not much. I won't lie to you, Blessing. Mm-hmm. I feel a little naked out here. All right. I'm perplexed.
Close.
I'm scared. Well, no, not literally naked, sir. Oh. I went in to do the junior like I normally do. And what I do is I hit the mic guard, but my mic guard is completely gone. I am unprotected out here.
I don't know where it's gone.
No, the baby's not here yet. Jen might have taken it.
Oh, damn.
Like, you're going to say no? There's only two human beings in the room. One of them didn't take the thing. And so you're going to say you didn't take it.
I thought maybe the baby was born in the time that I was gone.
Is Jen usually always just right there?
It depends on the day and the show, but we have a joint office down here. We have a little printer over there. Jen wants a water cooler down here. I just don't think it's needed.
Do it.
You know? Put fruit punch in it.
What you got against dehydration? Or no, what you got against hydration, Greg? What you got against
hydration? I'll let you know, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr., all right? We can't all be like you, young and full of metabolism, all right? The exercise I get is climbing the stairs to get a glass of water, all right?
I always have water next to me. You know, water is essential for being healthy. It's essential for having energy. You got a small bottle of water. You need a large bottle of water. Danny has the same water bottle as me.
Say what? Cheers.
Let's go.
Okay, yeah.
Butterfinger family. Butterfinger. Better with Butterfinger.
First off, how many ounces do you think you guys can carry? I can keep 32 ounces in this REI bottle. That ain't pushing 32 ounces in that thing.
32 ounces, that's not much.
Blessing and Danny are holding looks like something you load into a rocket launcher of some sort. Like it looks like a canister that you gotta like load a weapon.
And you're like Halo rocket launcher. You like
the thing about this, it keeps the water cool. Very, very cool.
It does. That's actually right. Why I like this one.
All right. Yeah. Of course, that's Danny Pena, founder of Gamertag Radio. Hello, Danny. How are you?
Hello. What's up, crew? I haven't been on in a while, man, but I'm ready to talk about games with y'all, man.
We're ready to have you back. I'm glad we're starting with the water bottles, because what I appreciate about the Butterfinger water bottle that came in the influencer pack we all got is that it could also be a weapon. You could also, if somebody breaks into the room right now, Blessing can use that to fight anybody off. If Michael Haim comes in there, smacked out of his mind on PCP, that's gonna stop it.
It's a hefty water bottle, and it's misleading too, because I'm making fun of you for how small your 32 ounce water bottle is, but I would say there is an unexpected small amount of space within this water bottle. Like most of this circumference is just, I think, thickness to hold the cool in, but the actual
performance.
Yeah, it's all about performance. The actual amount of water that can fit in this water bottle, less than you would expect.
All bark, no bite, that bottle.
See, I expected the exact amount of... I know for a fact that this is way more water than that bottle. You got maybe 16 ounces in there.
You might be right. Maybe. I think you're right. Because I drink this super fast.
You give one sip and it's just done.
Yeah, like I'm done. Round two.
Speaking of rounding out our quartet, he's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Tree, Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting headshot nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Back from the dead. Well, still not officially back, but I was like, I can't miss a talk of Halo. I can't miss the first show back post Halo. I need to talk about this somewhere.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Now, Andy, of course, there's plenty of people who only listen to the Gamescast. They're not aware of the other stuff, right? They're not watching the streams. They're not going, you are not in California anymore. You are back in the RGV. You are breaking many a law because, of course, as you know, in the RGV, they don't play no games, but you do. I can clearly see controllers and a Switch right next to you.
I mean, this is all paraphernalia. Yeah. If the FBI decided to bust in, like, I have no right to like deny any of this. But yeah, I'm excited to be back. I'm at home right now. I'm at my parents' house. I just surprised my dad, my brother and I, my mom surprised him with a new LG OLED TV.
Ooh,
very excited about that. I got my mom a new phone.
Ooh.
So everybody's happy right here at the Cortez household.
How are you happy? How long has it been? This is your first time back, obviously, since the pandemic. But like, how far back before that are we stretching?
What do you mean? I mean, like the last time I had been back was December 2019.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It was a while. It's a good while, Greg. Yeah. A lot of businesses shut down here. Very, very sad stuff. It's raining. A lot of rain happening right now. COVID probably going to be going buck wild pretty soon. So we'll see what happens. But so far, so good. Masking up a lot. Making sure I'm telling people I'm vaccinated.
Everybody get vaccinated.
Oh my gosh. Eating a lot of like just really unhealthy food. Playing a lot of basketball. It's good stuff down here in the RGB.
Well, I appreciate that you're having a great vacation. I appreciate that you could come here and hang out with us on the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, each and every week we come together to nerd out about all the things we love and sometimes don't love about video games here on the Kind of Funny Games cast. If you want to be part of it, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you could be watching us record the show live right now, just like Joshy G, Anthony Corbett, and Mike LR. Remember, if you're watching live, you're having a great time. You're supporting us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, which means you have the benefit of going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and writing in to be part of the show. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you get each and every episode of the Kind of Funny Games cast ad-free, and you get it with the post show we do exclusively over there. Of course, you can get all of those benefits for Kind of Funny Games Daily, PS I Love You, the X-Cast, you name it. It's all on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You, of course, can watch us, or I guess watch on demand, the show we put up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames each and every week. Of course, there are ads. Of course, there's no post show, but it's still fun. You can subscribe to the podcast feed of your choice and get it there no matter where you decide to support the Kind of Funny Games cast. Thank you. Housekeeping for you. There's a brand new episode of PS I Love You XOXO up right now. It's Blessing. It's me. And it's us talking about the PS5 and its continued dominance no matter how many hurdles that it gets thrown in its way that it keeps rolling over and nobody cares. On top of that, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, we have a brand new platinum tier item because it's a brand new month. It, of course, is the Nick and Porty fan art here that I think is incredible, that of course is riffing on Rick and Morty. Fantastic stuff. You can get it by supporting us at the Platinum tier, which would also get you all the benefits of Kind of Funny Prime's Patreon too, but I've already said Patreon too many times. Except for this, thank you to our Patreon producers, Julian, the Gluten-Free Gamer, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Elliot, and Brian Ward. Today, we're brought to you by Purple and Fitbod, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, Danny, if somebody doesn't know you, we've said Gamertag Radio. I haven't dropped the fact that you're in the podcast Hall of Fame just yet, but I just did. How do you describe yourself? Like, what do you do? What do you do in the video game podcasty space?
Yeah, I'm just I'm more of an audio content creator than video. I started doing video now for the past couple of years. But the first time I created an audio show was for PSO, Fantasy Star Online, during the Dreamcast days. Yeah. So ever since then, I've just been creating content on our podcast, and yeah, it's been a good trip so far, man. So
except you have to hang out with Paris, right?
Yeah, but shout out to Paris. He's been doing pretty good now the past year or so, you know. He's doing good.
Yes,
really, really good. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whatever.
Yeah. You know what? I want to one day I definitely want to have I want to go back at S-Cast, talk about Halo and all these games are coming out later this year.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah.
You're welcome back anytime there.
Yeah. I mean, Paris. It's always Mike. This always invite me, man. Paris, invite me.
He wants to keep you out. Paris is trying to keep you out. You know what I mean? He's trying to break it up.
He's changed, Danny. He's changed, dude.
He's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's,
I know, right?
Like, if we give Danny too much of a voice, he's going to take over and become the new Paris, and he can't let that happen.
No, he can't. Yeah. Of course, topic of the show, as you saw in the headline of the thumbnail, of course, is going to be Halo Infinite, talking about that flight. But before we get there, because I should call out, of course, I don't usually host the Kind of Funny Games cast, Tim Geddes, not bit in the eye by a snake this time, bit in the arm, and he thinks he's going to be able to shake it off and be here about 30 minutes, maybe a little bit more into the show. So he's going to show up to join us and talk about Halo. So before then, I thought we'd start with some apps. Not apps on your phone, Andy. No appetizer questions we got from patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Please, don't worry about it.
This guy.
Danny, you're talking about Fantasy Star Online. You're talking about, obviously, the fact that you've been not only creating content for a long time, but you've been playing games for a long time, like me. So I want to start with Jake Bakes Cakes over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Jake wrote in and said, what was your most anticipated game of all time? Conversely, what is the biggest disappointment? Of course, we're gonna go around the horn with this one, but I do want to start with you, Danny. When you clear the mind and hear what was your most anticipated game of all time, what pops up?
I think it has to be Halo 2, man.
Yeah,
because I have a funny story about that. So I used to live in Miami, and I heard that they had the Halo 2 retail game available at Walmart. So I called at the store and I said, hey, you guys have Halo ready? Like, I would love to go there at midnight. They're like, yeah, sure. It was a guy that doesn't speak English that well. So he's like, yeah, sure. Come here. So I go over there with my brother. We showed up like around 11 p.m. And I was like, oh, man, we're going to play Halo 2 weeks before everybody else. Man, we got to keep this on the low and everything. So the guy goes back and he brings this cart with a big box, open it up. He goes, here, Halo 2. It was actually Shrek 2, the movie DVD. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, no. I looked at my brother and I was like, yeah, let's not say anything to anyone. Let's just go back home and just wait for the official.
Did you take some Shrek 2, though?
Did you buy Shrek?
No, I didn't. I was so pissed. Danny. So pissed. It was a good movie, but I was
mad. I could see. I mean, it's the sequel for a big green guy. I could totally understand the
confusion.
Right,
it makes sense when you think about it that way, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
No, but we actually, I went to the launch for Halo 2. At the, I think it was like Electronics Boutique back in the days.
Yep.
And yeah, we were there for 3 hours just playing football, playing ball, everything. We were just waiting for the store to open up. We had a big crew there, man. It was awesome. A lot of fun. People playing dominoes. It was sick.
Do you miss that? Do you miss that kind of fervor? Because, you know, my stories I'll get to in a second, but like midnight launches and waiting in line and all these things that are annoying but then also kind of the experience, right? Where now it's just like, oh, do you even pre-order? You just start the download whenever and then you play it whenever you get to it.
I do miss it, man, especially the past year, you know, staying home. I miss seeing people. I miss seeing friends, especially going to like conferences and yeah, going to those stores. This was like, there was like iconic moments, man, just being at the store for not only for Halo but other games. Like I remember for Halo 3, for Gears of War, I did that. Mm-hmm. For even for Dreamcast back then, it was awesome. And yeah, a lot of people never experience that nowadays. You know, they just, Amazon just drops up at the door. It's different nowadays, man. You know, so.
Yeah. There's something special to that. I felt for, you know, I think, again, it's, you know, because I'm old. But like, I remember, you know, growing up in the video game magazine being the lifeline to this world that I was so connected to, that I felt so passionate about. And then those rare occasions that were the PS2 launch, that were getting in line for the Wii or whatever, like this rare occasion at the time for somebody who was in, you know, the Midwest, who never thought of that there was going to be a PAX or that a Comic-Con would ever have a real video game presence to it. That was the time to actually sit there and talk in person to somebody who actually liked and cared about the stuff I cared about to that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. I wish we could see that more in the future. I mean, right now, you know, everything's going on. It's good to just stay home. But
of course.
But yeah, hopefully.
Get vaccinated, everyone.
Yeah, hopefully that will change in the future, man. Like, so I just love meeting people. And actually, that's how I got the word out about my show back then. It was just, I will go to these launch events locally in Miami and just meet people in person. And I really miss that.
Pass out your mixtapes.
Yeah, actually, I submit so
much what it is. Yeah,
in high school, I just sold that a lot. I made a lot of money actually. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
That's the one thing I mean, there's many things I love about you, Danny. But the one thing I love more than anything is when on your Twitter you do stuff where you'll celebrate some anniversary, you'll put up some old photos, and you talk about how long you've been doing all this. And it's that thing where you hustle as hard now as you did then, at least from what my perspective, right? Where I see you all the time busting your ass now to make connections, have on guests, do the next thing, you know, make the next move. But then you see these things where you're talking about, yeah, I can totally see you walking around a Miami launch event for a video game saying like, hey, I got a podcast, by the way.
No, but you know what it is, Greg? I think it's good to show that to people. My guy, people forget, man. People forget. Sure. So that's why I always bring up, hey, today's, like the other day was the 30th anniversary of Streets of Rage. That game to me is like, Part 1 and 2 is like one of my favorite games ever, man. So it's good to talk about history, man. You know, everybody just talk about now, but I think the stuff that we went through back then, this is why we know so much about games and appreciate the stuff that we went through back then, like playing games like Ninja Gaiden with no saves. You know, like it was really, really hard, but it made us a better gamer because we experienced that, you know what I'm saying? So, 100%. But it's good to talk about history, man. Really, really good.
Andy, tell me some of your history. What's your most anticipated game of all time?
I mean, Danny took mine. It was Halo 2 because I think that was the first game that my brother and I were both like, my brother picking me up from school, going to Best Buy, having that pre-order, waiting there outside of the Best Buy. Like, it was a big event, especially with how addicted we were to Halo 1. I think back before that and, you know, we were excited to go pick up the Killer Instinct game when it was coming out, because that game looks wild. But I got to say, it's probably Halo 2 or Mass Effect 3.
Okay.
Either one of those. I think just the sort of hype and lead up to it, possibly even Mass Effect 3, with just knowing what I experienced in Part 2 and how that immediately became one of my favorite games of all time. How is this going to end up? What's going to happen to these characters? What's going to happen to these saves? Because, you know, so-and-so died in my playthrough. Shit, that sucks. Like, I wonder if there's going to be anything to do with that character. I think Mass Effect is just such a one of those perfect games to kind of wonder what's next. So I'd go with Halo 2 and Mass Effect 3 for a lot of the same reasons that Danny mentioned. But to go with the midnight releases, oh my gosh, dude. Like, it was just so fun to do that. And we didn't necessarily do that during the Halo 2 days, but during the Halo Reach days, ODST, whatever COD was coming out, whatever new Madden game was coming out, Halo 4, Halo 3 and Halo 4.
Halo 3.
Those were the games that, like, that, by that point, my friends and I were all meeting up at the Best Buy near or at the GameStop near La Plaza Mall, or the GameStop near over here or whatever. And we'd all hang out there, and you'd see another person that you saw at the last midnight review, like, oh, what's up, dude? Here's it. Like, it was just such a cool communal event. And it'd be hot as shit, like at 11 p.m. in the valley. But it was dope, man. Yeah, I definitely missed those days. And you sort of take that shit for granted, because, of course, we love the convenience of getting the game immediately. But that communal sort of vibe just isn't quite there anymore.
Sure. Blessing, what comes to mind for you for most anticipated game of all time?
I think mine, I've talked about this game a lot, especially recently, but mine would have been GTA 5. And I think I maybe told the story recently of playing GTA San Andreas, being so into that game, and having that game be the game where I was like, shit, man, this is open world video games to me. Like, this is the most open game I've ever played. Like, it has different cities, different environments, different all this stuff. Loving the characters in it, loving the story in it. And, you know, as a kid being like, man, the one thing or the two things I wish this game would have would be like better graphics and less glitches, and then online multiplayer. And then GTA 5 was announced, and that was the game where I was like, oh shit, we're going back to San Andreas, where they're adding in multiplayer, they're adding all this other stuff. And if you want to talk about midnight releases, I want to say I talked about this a year or so ago on Gamescast. We did a whole topic, or maybe it was a question about our midnight release memories, and I told a story about how GTA 5 came out toward the end of 2013. I was in college, and University of Illinois had a GameStop that eventually ended up getting replaced by McDonald's. Rest in peace. And yeah, you know, hate to see it.
Sucks.
And I went to the midnight release for that, and that was probably the last big midnight release for a game that I went to where it was popping off. Like, there was a long ass line in the GameStop. I believe they had like game stations set up, and sure, I remember running into people at the GameStop. Like, I think they're playing like Street Fighter and stuff, and I would run into people at the GameStop who I knew from high school, or like people who I knew from church or whatever the thing may be, and be like, oh, like, you're here for GTA 5? Yeah, you're here for GTA 5. Oh yeah, let's pick it up. You know, that for me is such a memory. And post that, I don't think I've, for all the midnight releases I can remember that I went to pick up games physically, nothing ever matched that. Like, I remember even my other answer for this would have been Metal Gear Solid 5. And I remember doing the midnight launch for that and Fallout 4, because those are both 2015. And around that time, I had Best Buy Gamers Club Ultimate, I think is what it's called, where you would get the, 10 to 20% off on a new game. Yeah. And that is what kept me getting physical media as opposed to digital media. Just
they fought good fight for a long time.
They fought the good fight, and they had me. Like, I would have been all in on digital way earlier if that deal wasn't there, because I was trying to get any sort of deal I could on digital or on video games. And so I kept going to get physical releases and kept showing up to the quote unquote midnight release, even though it was like 9 p.m. By the time they're actually giving it to me. Mm-hmm. And it was that thing of showing up to Best Buy for Metal Gear Solid, maybe seven people being in line, and it being this thing of, all right, it's time, you know, let's hand out the games and just peace out. And, you know, I never had the same level of, oh man, this feel like this has a vibe, like this is a cool environment, like everybody's here, everybody's excited about this one game. Of course, all the seven people that were there at Best Buy for Metal Gear Solid 5 were super excited for Metal Gear Solid 5, and I can give my whole spiel for why Metal Gear Solid 5 is my other answer for most anticipated game.
Your most disappointed game?
No, anticipated. Okay.
I was trying to say it did both. I was like, holy shit.
No, I love Metal Gear Solid 5. That's a similar thing of playing, being so into Metal Gear Solid in the same way that I was into Metal Gear, in the same way I was into Grand Theft Auto, and coming off of MGS 1, 2, 3, and 4, and being so into that story, and 3 being my favorite Metal Gear Solid game, and knowing that this is a big boss story, and knowing that it's open world, and seeing all the trailers on the previews, and seeing all the 10s in the reviews, I had never been so hyped for something, and so that's definitely up there to you. But in terms of disappointment, my answer would probably be... I don't know if this is my most disappointing one, but it's definitely up there. Mirror's Edge Catalyst was one that I was super looking forward to because I love Mirror's Edge.
Well, begged for that Mirror's Edge too. Give me another Mirror's Edge. And they're like, all right, here you go. And you guys are like, not like this.
Yeah, exactly. I was one of those people that was, it was what, 2015, I think. And so I was listening, maybe 2016. I was listening to like Beyond, or no, I guess it would have been like PS I Love You, kind of funny at the time. And you know, I would hear you guys talk about Mirror's Edge 2 and how like people keep asking for Mirror's Edge 2, but like, are you gonna really want Mirror's Edge 2? And I was one of those listeners that I was like, no, I'm telling you, I want Mirror's Edge 2. Mirror's Edge 1, such a good game, one of my favorite games. I have such good memories with it. Mirror's Edge 2 is gonna be a banger. It's gonna be open world. It's everything I want. And I got Mirror's Edge Catalyst, and that shit was not what was up. Like, it was a very like mediocre, like the most 6 out of 10 game I could play, where the combat was booty, the exploration was just not as good as it could have been. The like, I would accidentally jump off of roofs all the time because I don't think the open world design was all that. Like, there's so much more that I wanted out of an open world Mirror's Edge game, and they totally fumbled it for me. But I was so in that I still beat the game. I identified about 5 hours in that I didn't like this game, but I still beat it just because it was Mirror's Edge. And so that is for sure my answer for a game that I super anticipated but was disappointed by.
Dude, Metal Gear 4 also. Got to throw that in for most anticipated, where it wasn't even my PS3. It was my roommate at the time, and we were both Metal Gear fans, and that was one of those midnight releases that as soon as we got home, it's like, all right, you got the game? All right, dope. I picked up like 5 Monster Energy drinks. Let's fucking play Metal Gear Solid 4, dude. What's this old bitch-ass snake doing right now? I'm so excited to find out. This guy's got a mustache and a little robot. It was just so sick. And then getting those sequences with Raiden and Vamp. Like,
You kidding me? Yeah, like that was the thing about Metal Gear Solid 4. No, you're fine. Don't worry. I mean, we're talking about characters you don't even know yet, right? So you're fine. Metal Gear Solid 4 for me, you know, was definitely, it's not my most anticipated, but it was anticipated. And it was anticipated both from, I'm a huge Metal Gear fan, and also I was working obviously at IGN at that time. So it was that I was anticipating to get to play Metal Gear for the first time ever early, right? It was the first time working at IGN while Metal Gear released. And it was such a shit show of, Jeff was reviewing it, I was doing second opinion, and I was like constantly hounding Konami about when we were getting code, They're like, all right, we mailed code. Here's a tracking number. Great. And like, you know, it's that day where you're not doing anything but refreshing FedEx. And finally, it came up that it had been delivered. And I ran up to the IGN mailroom, ran in there, and it wasn't there. And then I was like, all right, sometimes packages get delivered to this other place in the building. Went down there, it wasn't there. And then went back up, and then like emailed, and then like, you know, nobody has it. Nothing's happening. I hit up Konami, like, say it's delivered. We don't know what's going on. And I start like, panicking. I eventually call FedEx. They get me through. They're like, yeah, we delivered it to you. And they give me the address. And I'm like, that is not our address. That's not the address of IGN. That's not where IGN is. And they're like, all right, well, you know, we can have somebody pick it up tomorrow and bring it back to you. I'm like, all right, fine. I hung up. And then I was like, that's not good enough. I went and like this. I know this is so easy now with Google Maps. At the time in 2008, it wasn't as easy. I like reverse referenced the address to find out where the build. And like, I was able to Google and find this weird company that had nothing to do with video games, not even, it was a somewhat similar address, but not there. Got it, called it, rang, finally got a person, and I'm like, hey, this is a weird one, but you got a package. It's addressed to, you know, Greg and Jeff. And he's like, yeah, I got it. It's here or whatever. I'm like, how much longer are you going to be there? He's like, I'm only going to be here like another 30 minutes. Ran out of IGN, got into my car, sped out of the parking lot, sped down the highway, you know, 101 South, leaving IGN.
Sir, please pull over. Like, it's Metal Gear. You don't.
Metal Gear.
I don't have time. All right, sir, we will escort you to the.
But I raced there and I got there in time and got in there. And the guy came out. He's like, here you go, man. He's like, sorry, we opened it. Like, you know, we weren't paying attention to labels. I'm like, I don't know if I believe that, but okay. And he's like, that's a cool video game, isn't it? I'm like, we don't know yet, but yet you have something highly embargoed that could have been a huge problem for Konami. And then, yeah, race that home and play that. And that, I mean, Metal Gear 4. Well, and now for real, close your ears for a second, Barrett. All right, just close. I'll tap my head when I'm done, Barrett. All right. But like getting it home,
headphones off.
Starting into it, right? And like that first night playing so late into the early morning. The next day, I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'll be reasonable when I get home tonight. I'm like, I'll go to bed around like 11. And it was like 11 o'clock is when they hit the moment. They're like, we're going back to Shadow Moses. And I was like, the fuck, I'm going to bed. You know what I mean? The fuck, I'm going to bed. All right. Pat my head. Barrett's back. Barrett can come back. And like that. But like my most anticipated game is very similar to yours, Danny, in terms of the experience, which for me, it was WrestleMania 2000 on N64.
Ooh, that's a classic. Oh my God.
Well, that was the thing, man, of like, you know, I was in high school. It was the height of the Attitude Era. And like we were playing WCW NWO Revenge nonstop. And it was that thing where it was the first time personally, and granted, this isn't like first time, it makes sense because I'm so young, but when I had my N64, it was the height of GoldenEye, it was the height of WCW NWO Revenge, and so yes. I was a theater kid, which meant, you know, for dress rehearsals and whatever, and the lead up to plays, you'd be there for so many hours that I would bring the N64, we'd go to the school's theater and play there on the giant screen or whatever, and so when I, you know, as much as I loved WCW and NWO Revenge, I was a WWF kid. And so like when they were announced, like, okay, cool, they're no longer with Acclaim. They're going to, this, all the licenses are switching around and they're going to basically take the engine they already have and make a WWF game. I was like, this is going to be the best game of all time. Yeah. And so in the run up to it, it was like obsessing about it, dreaming about it, writing up my own match cards. And like before you could build a pay-per-view, just writing out stupid storylines in class. And it got to the thing of, you know, my story of, you know, discovering what I want to do with my life is in the fourth grade with an issue of Game Pro, calling, asking every store every night for a month about Death and Return to Superman. And it was the same thing here where so many people just broke street dates because they didn't know any better. And I remember for like an entire week leading up to WrestleMania 2000, I was calling stores and be like, hey, do you have it? And they'd be like, no, we don't have it. I'm like, all right, cool. And then, you know, here it was a Thursday night. I called Walmart and it was like, whatever it was supposed to come out. I forget what day, if it was going to be Friday or if it was going to be Monday or Tuesday at the time. And I called Walmart. I'm like, yeah, do you have WrestleMania 2000 and N64? And the guy's like, yeah, I'm looking at it. We got it. I'm like, you have WrestleMania 2000 and N64. He's like, yeah, before he even finished, I hung up. And again, it was into the car. Racing, I had the windows down. I'll never forget this moment. I'm driving to Walmart. I'm not even racing because I feel like I got it in the bag. Like I'm, you know, nobody else knows this. It's my golden ticket kind of thing. And I'm driving windows down, listening to Weezer or whatever, having a great time. I look out the window as I pull up to Walmart to turn into their parking lot. I saw these other kids running down the sidewalk. I'm like, oh, that's funny. And I looked, and one of them was in like a Cactus Jack shirt. And I was like, oh no. And like I ripped in there, parked it illegally, probably
ran him over.
Yeah, exactly. Hit him with a good door. I never saw him in the video game aisle, but I got WrestleMania 2000 and immediately ran to Poe's house to give him the stuff I had to deliver the next day at school because I was like, I'm not going to class tomorrow. Bye.
Hey, but during that time, message boards were the big thing. So that's how we found out when a store was selling the games early. Was through there. Yeah. 100%. But you know, I have to mention this. I think the most iconic launch for me back then was the Sega Dreamcast, the whole $9.99. Yeah. We have never seen anything like that. Yeah. And still to this day. So it felt like an event, like a full party event, especially in New York City, because they, I remember at that time, Sega sponsored the VMAs. I think it was Chris Rock hosting. And and you know, they had a Sega Dreamcast there all over New York City. Yo, it was awesome. It was really cool.
Yeah, and like, you know, that's the thing, right? Like they marketed that in a way, like now obviously everything's marketed, but it was I remember the breakthrough of like that. And if I hadn't been burned by the Saturn, maybe I would have like given it a second opinion, but true. I was like, never now, again, Sega.
I do have a question for you. Do you like No Mercy? Because No Mercy was a pretty good game too for Nintendo 64.
Personally, I think No Mercy is the better game. It was just that thing of WrestleMania 2000 gets that benefit of being the first in the WWE series. So it's like the one that was like, oh my God, this is so great. But No Mercy was way better in terms of features and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Have the cartridges on the first run, erase your progress. And I kept returning them to GameStop or EB, Electronics Boutique. And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, I read it on the internet. Please give me. I keep losing my progress. Can you please help me? Yeah. Dave,
I was gonna ask about the most disappointing game, because and that's recent. It was Cyberpunk. That to me killed it completely killed me, man. Because I was so hyped, especially the previous years. I will go to E3 and I see the presentation. I'm like, oh my God, Record Paris coming out of the meeting rooms. We're like super excited. You know, I even interviewed the developers, Keanu Reeves. I'm like, all right, this is it. I'm all in. And I remember, usually we'll get games early. I'm like, wait a minute, why we haven't gotten the game yet? Like, what's going on? And it's like the day before launch.
Yep.
And I got it like Thursday evening. I was like, wait, this is strange, man. This is kind of fishy. And then I started playing the game. The prologue was awesome and everything. Loved the open world. After the prologue, I feel like everything just went downhill. It was buggy. My character was like stuck in certain places. I was underground, also driving. It completely hurt me, because I love CD Projekt Red, love their games from like The Witcher 3.
Sure.
And it completely destroyed me ever since then. I'm like, never again. Now I have to be really careful of being hyped for games like that, you know? So.
And that was the thing, right? Is like, I remember leaving those E3 presentations, and I remember saying it on all sorts of, I think at IGN at the time, and then eventually, kind of funny, right? Of just like, if they can deliver on what they're showing, this will be the greatest game of all time. And that was my thing, is like, even I was thinking, even if they missed the mark, it wouldn't be a complete collapse and the game doesn't work on certain platforms they sold it on and it's removed from the PSN. And you know what I mean? Like, we're talking way beyond what I thought the worst case scenario for Cyberpunk was.
Yeah. And not only that, the meeting rooms, it felt like a... Like, I was going to, like, Universal Studios. It felt like an experience going in there, right? The bar, everything, sitting down with a presentation. It just got me so hype every year, man. And, yeah, that game completely killed me, man.
I think especially when you think about the development cycle and how it was announced 7 years prior. So no way would the game not be ready by now, because you just kind of do the math and, like, normally takes about 3.5 years, 4 years, make a video game unless you delay it or whatever. And it had gone through its delays. But you just got to assume, they're just polishing it up. You know, that's probably what it is. It's hard for me to say that it's my most disappointing, but it's also hard to not say that, because you kind of have to grade on a curve. Because here's the thing. I played it. I beat it. I played a lot of side missions. I really liked the game. Like, I played it on PC, so I had the best experience possible. And it was a blast. And there were incredible moments, character moments. I think that's where the game really shines, is when you do talk to these NPCs, even from the smallest of non-important people that you do a couple side missions with to some of the main cast that are sort of your sidekicks throughout the whole way. It's hard for me to say the game was a disappointment, because at the end of the day, I still really dug the game. But again, I had the best situation possible.
Sure.
I think when you just grade on a curve and say, damn, we really thought it was going to be this other thing, though. We thought it was going to be something completely different, where as soon as the reports came out of there are 3 life paths to choose, and each life path is about, you know, 30 hours, 25 hours or whatever it was. And obviously, that's just mostly the intro levels or whatever. You're still going to end up kind of playing a lot of the main missions anyway, depending on what path you pick. But when that was sort of revealed, it kind of made me realize, this is not going to be this Skyrim level of, now bug wise yes, very Skyrim level bug wise but it's not going to be this, you know, 300 hour game that you just sort of live in and completely role play, because the seams are very visible of that it is a video game. It doesn't quite feel like an open world, because it does still feel very linear in a sense.
Yeah.
And I think you kind of have to grade it on that curve, because it's not quite what we thought it was going to be. I would have to put Anthem, though, because I thought Anthem was going to be my Destiny. And like, I still played that campaign and I thought it was above average to like fine. Like, I never thought it was a bad game. I had fun with the gunplay and stuff, but I thought that was going to be the new normal. I thought that was going to become sort of my games as a service preferenced game, you know?
Sure. Well, you'd always double back to, right?
Right.
Talking about Cyberpunk, that's one where I also, I'm in the camp of Andy that, like, you know, by the time I finished that game, I actually really enjoyed it. But that was a game where, leading up to it, I was like, this is going to be my game of the year. Like, this is going to be, it's going to come down to probably this and a Last of Us and a Final Fantasy VII remake. And Cyberpunk, out of all of those, was the one that I thought was going to run away with it, because it was the game that kind of spoke to all my interests when it comes to what I like about playing video games. You know, it's like this big RPG, this huge sci-fi cyberpunk world, talking to all these different characters, going down these trees and all this stuff. And I remember doing the preview for it in June and being like, okay, this open world doesn't seem like it's going to be a mind-blowing open world, but what they're doing with the RPG stuff seems like it's going to be pushing things, because they did set up the life paths. They did set up these different ways to tech out your character. They did put out all the promo that I was talking about. Hey, you can play as a tech samurai or a tech ninja, or you can play as this silent assassin, or you can play as this running gunner. And looking into all that stuff, I remember being super hyped and super ready for that game to be the one where I would play it once and then reload a new game and then play it again as an entirely different character. And for me, like, the disappointment for Cyberpunk comes in waves, because one, you know, it didn't seem to have that in the depth that I wanted it, which is super disappointing, because I remember finishing the game and being like, all right, can't wait to start this over, and then looking into other people's impressions and being like, no, this doesn't seem as different as I thought it was gonna be. Damn, that's a bummer. But then also the playing it and getting all the bugs that I was getting in the review period, because I forget which patch I had, but it was definitely before the 1.0 patch. I remember playing it and being like, all right, like, maybe the 1.0 patch is going to be the one that fixes all these different bugs, because the bugs that I was having was even more than for PC, more than the average PC player was having. I definitely had it better than the console players, which is crazy to think about. But, you know, for me, when I was playing through on PC, I remember for half the kills I would get in the game, the guns would float above the dead bodies and I would loot them out of the air.
Were you the one where, like, everybody was holding dildos?
Not everybody, but there was a higher than average amount of dildos. That was the thing that they put in the update. They were like, yeah, we're fixing the dildo situation. There's a very high number of dildos falling out of NPCs after you're taking them out, and so we're going to turn that slider down. But it was just a bunch of stuff where it's like, wow, you guys didn't have this prepared. And even in the review period, I was like, certainly this huge ass 1.0 patch that's supposed to be like 30 gigs or whatever it was is going to fix so many of these issues. And to still get that final release and it being still that buggy was a thing that blew my mind, to the point where I probably would put it as one of the more disappointing games that I was looking forward to so much, but still in the place where my personal experience with it was still fun, but just not my number one game of the year, game of the generation level game that I was expecting it to be.
Not an absolute all-timer, you know? And no, like you mentioning the dildos being replaced, I had that moment where there's that, it's spoiled in the trailers, but a character dies early on and is going to pull a microchip from his head to give it to you. And the microchip prop was replaced with a pistol prop. So he pulls out a gun out of his head and like it's the gun is just like, and I was like, no, like this is such a fucking great moment. And it's beautiful and it's heartbreaking. And it's so obviously the game is stunning in so many different ways.
When characters are, that game is
when
good.
Characters are like walking around and they walk up right to you and look at you in the eyes, like, God damn, this feels so surreal because it looks amazing.
Getting to a dialogue sequence and having characters walk around and like be doing other shit while talking to you. That's the thing that I talked about during the review that I was super impressed by. Like, there's one encounter in that game where you go to somebody's office and you're having this confrontation with them about a different character that you're trying to find. And as they're talking to them, you're going through the trees and he's walking around, he looks in his desk, he goes over to the side, opens this drawer as you're talking to him, and then you hit a certain point in the dialogue and he takes out a gun out of that drawer and starts shooting you. And I remember going through that and going, damn, that's really cool. Like, I wish more RPGs would do that. Like, this is where this game shines. And the fact that it had those moments, but then in moments where things that should have been a breeze in that game, in a game like that of that scope, of that budget, it faltered on those, is the thing that brought it down immensely.
I just want to throw out two things here, Greggy, because y'all were talking about midnight releases. I think the only ever midnight release I've ever gone to GameStop for was Batman Arkham Knight, which I would probably put under like one of my most anticipated games ever, just because of like the high of Asylum and City and like, you know, like WB Montreal doing Origins, but then Rock City was coming back for Night and all this stuff. Sure.
The Batmobile.
Yeah, the Batmobile, and, you know, they probably announced that game a little too early with, like, the where they ended up delaying it and all this stuff, but, like, we finally got it. Like, that was super hype. And then most disappointed game is Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. That was a very heartbreaking release.
Mm-hmm.
Understandable.
Throw those out there.
Oh, actually, you know what? I want to throw Mortal Kombat 10 in there too. It was a game I was super hyped for. Mortal Kombat 9 was such leading up to that in the previous entries in the Mortal Kombat series, I wouldn't have expected Mortal Kombat 9 to be as good as it was, but that game was excellent. And like the previous Mortal Kombat game, aside from Mortal Kombat versus DC, would have been Mortal Kombat Armageddon. And that run of PS2 Mortal Kombat games.
Don't sleep on Mortal Kombat versus DC. All right.
I gotta sleep on it, Greg.
Can you fucking believe I reviewed that for IGN?
Did you really?
Stop and think about that. Think about how much I don't know about fighting games, and we are in the moment of, like, we review everything, and it doesn't matter if it's your genre or not. Greg Miller reviewed a fighting game. What the hell did I...
I mean, you had half it unlocked. Half of it was DC. And so
I knew my DC stuff for sure, yeah.
Did they send you the painting, the special painting of that game? Because they sent me that. That was a long time ago, but I
remember applauding it when they revealed it, when it was it was that Vegas reveal event they had when they did all the other Midway games.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you one more. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say quickly, that run of PS2 Mortal Kombat games, right? Like, I personally like them and have a connection to them because of nostalgia and all this other stuff, but aren't, like, objectively good fighting games or objectively good Mortal Kombat games compared to the best of Mortal Kombat. And so by the time I got to 9, you know, I think... There were like the hopes and dreams of this is going to be excellent, but actually getting it and actually it being excellent was one dope. But then that then fed into the hype for Mortal Kombat 10 for me, where I was like, this shit is about to be next level. It's on the PS4. You're going to have new characters. This dude named Takeda, I can't remember his last name, but Takeda, who has this relation to Scorpion, he seems like such a cool character. And I remember being so into it. And so shout out to that one.
Yeah, this is old school right here. This is especially for you, Greg. So I remember going to Blockbuster to rent a game, and they had the Superman 64. And I was so, so excited for that game. I'm like, oh, man, if this is like Zelda and Mario 64, oh, man, this is going to take it to the next level. So I remember renting it, and I know. And I saw the graphics in the box. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. And I played it. Oh, man. It probably lasted like maybe 5-10 minutes. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. This is just terrible. It's terrible, terrible game.
Yeah. No, I mean, for my biggest disappointment in my life, it's Superman 64 in video games. Where you understand, I own it. I owned an N64 because of Superman 64. And that was a big deal. That was like crossing a picket line because I was a Sega kid. And so I was like, my first, I saw that in a Wizard magazine years before they actually released it. And I was like, guess I'm buying an N64. And so when it finally came around and I had it pre-ordered, walked into that EB, got it, went home. I was wearing my Superman shirt, went home. It was a hot summer day, popped it in. Or maybe it was like beginning of May. I was out of school for sure. Popped it in. And I remember playing it. And it's very akin to Blessing's story of it. I remember going, it was hours of gameplay before I could finally be like, this sucks. Like, this is bad. Like, this isn't just disappointing. Like, this is a bad game. Like, how can the game I'm excited for, based on Superman, based on the animated series, which was dope as hell, be this bad?
What about the EA version that came out years after that?
Superman Returns? Yeah, of course.
Did you like that one?
No, of course not. No.
I like that one either.
People always talk about like the Superman curse and how bad games are. I will give Superman Shadow of Apocalypse a shout out. It was another animated series game. By no means a banger, by no means a must play, but it wasn't atrocious. Like Superman 64 was, like Superman Returns pretty much was. Like, it was, you know, that was just a weird one of like the city has a health bar and you're flying around. Brandon Roth gave the voice or whatever, but all the same. I digress. Oh, yeah. What I want to know from you, Andy, from you, Danny, blessing you, shut your face, is if Halo Infinite is going to be one of your most anticipated games or one of your biggest disappointments. But before then, let me remind you, everybody, about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, you can be on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now, watching us record the show live, just like Joshy G is, Madeline Stanley is, and Matthew Lewis is. Of course, you could write in to be part of the show, just like Jake Bakes Cakes did, and you could get the show with the post show we do. And most importantly, for right now, you could go there to get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games cast for it's so Andy, you can see it. You can see me fighting against the games daily stuff I say. I start screwing it up.
I see it. It's hard to watch, honestly. Oh, it really is.
A former great.
I'm seeing Tim Duncan in his final year getting blocked at the rim, and I'm just like, oh, man, this is over. It's it.
What I'm trying to say jackasses is that you didn't go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get the show ad-free. So here are the sponsors.
This show is brought to you by Purple Mattress. Doesn't it seem like the world's against us from getting a good night's sleep this time of year? Heat waves, noisy neighbors, California earthquakes, stress, so much is working against us. But when you have a Purple Mattress, you can sleep cool and comfortable no matter what the world throws at you. That's because only Purple Mattresses have the grid. Its unique ventilated design allows air to flow through to help you sleep cool, even when it feels like it's 1,000 degrees out. Kind of Funny's own Joey Noel loves her Purple Mattress. She sleeps like a baby, and I can tell you firsthand, she seems like a very well rested person. Try your Purple Mattress risk-free with free shipping and returns. Financing is available as well. Purple is comfort reinvented. Right now, you'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more. Go to purple.com/kindoffunny10 and use promo code kindoffunny10. That's purple.com/kindoffunny10. Promo code kindoffunny10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. purple.com/kindoffunny10. Promo code kindoffunny10. Terms apply. We're also brought to you by Fitbod. I started going to the gym recently, and I can tell you firsthand, doing the same workout sucks. Don't get stuck doing the same workouts. Making progress toward the future you means overcoming new challenges. There's no perfect body that everyone can achieve, but what we can do is continually become a better version of ourselves. No workout is one size fits all. Fitbod creates a fitness program that continually adapts to you, so you stay challenged with new exercises, pacing, and intensity based on where you are and where you want to be. Tim and his friends have been using Fitbod, and they've been over the moon about the results. It's a must-have for tracking your own fitness. No equipment, no worries. Fitbod has bodyweight routines for those looking to get fit at home or on the go. Pick up the pace on your fitness journey with Fitbod today, and your future self will thank you. Get 25% off your membership at fitbod.me/kfgames. That's 25% off at fitbod.me/kfgames.
Okay. Now we're back. We're out of that. We're done with that. Danny, you're the guest. I want to know. Well, let's start here. I want to go around with you and Andy, and hopefully Tim gets to join us eventually. But I want to know how much Halo Infinite flighting you played and what your favorite part was. We'll start with you, Danny.
Well, I have two stories. One, I was out of town, but I had my Xbox Series S with me because I had the beta with me. So I'm like, you know, I have to play this. So yeah, I played a lot. I was very, very hype about this, man. I was worried at first. I'm like, oh man, is it gonna be good? Because we've been talking about it now for like the past year, and I played it here first in LA, and wow, I had a great time. Like, I play a lot of Apex, especially with Blessing and my partner, and we play that all the time. And I felt like I'm back. Like I still have my skills. I had a lot of my kills and everything, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. Now, at first, I found the bots a little bit too easy. Mm. But then once they added the Spartans, that's it. That's when everything was like, okay, now this is more challenging. But now I'm used to that now, and I want more of a challenge after that. So we'll see what type of changes they're going to make 343. But the gameplay is good. Controls is good. I just love how well it's like the sliding now in the game. Compared to like other games and everything, right? And I'm having I had a blast with it. I can't wait to play this once it comes out. And I'm happy that this is going to be free, because there's going to be a lot of new people that have never played Halo, and this is going to be the first time playing it. You know, so
Andy, I want your top level thoughts as well, but I also want you to explain this. Of course, Danny's talking about the Spartans, about the bots. What exactly was the beta this weekend?
The beta was called a technical preview, not a beta, Greg. Trust me. The amount of times that YouTube commenters posted on my videos saying, this isn't a beta. I'm like, okay, well, viewers don't know what the hell a technical preview is. They know what the word beta means, right? And so they were very clear about that. What they did was 343 let you play against bots for a couple days or whatever. And they were just bots that you were shitting on nonstop. You and your friends could team up. But not only could you team up, you could still customize your Spartan in a way. You could kind of buy a battle pass with the fake money that they give you to kind of test out that system as well. So not only could you buy the battle pass, but you could level up and change what challenges your daily was, whether it was get 5 headshots or get 20, whatever the hell. You could sort of do all of that stuff. So they're kind of giving you a pretty broad view of what this technical preview was.
Okay.
You could change your armor, your color, make your Spartan you know, make it sure. uniquely yours. And there's a lot of really cool customization that I was so jazzed about that you couldn't fully upgrade yet. But you're playing a bunch of bots, and then 343 released an update saying, we're going to let you play against tougher bots. The ODST bots are on the way. So it's they just call the ODST bots. They're a bit tougher. And they were, and it was a lot more fun. And the grenade placement of these goddamn bots was, goddamn, it was Joe Montana-like, Greg. They were throwing, because
from downtown.
Dude, Danny, it's so funny because obviously I haven't been playing a whole lot of Halo recently. I played a decent amount of 5 when it came out. Every once in a blue moon, I'll pop into the Master Chief Collection, but you kind of forget the rhythm of Halo. You kind of forget the feel of what you're supposed to do, and it is constantly throw a grenade in a place where you think the bad guy's going to be and then just start shooting the bad guy. And these damn bots are playing in ways. Greg, they teach the bots to do the very apex thing that Bless is aware of the crouching and shooting and strafing. The mm-hmm. bots are performing these maneuvers to make it harder for you to hit,
yeah.
which was really dope. But again, their grenade placement was holy shit. Hall of Fame Impact. Level, like first ballot. They're throwing perfect grenades right under your feet. And it was a lot more fun. And then they released another update where they said, hey, Spartan bots are now available. I didn't see a whole lot of difference between them, between the Spartan bots and the ODST bots. I felt like the difficulties were fairly similar. And then we were just sort of champing at the bit and saying, like, I hear rumors that they're going to do PvP pretty soon, but this flight is only available for another hour, couple hours or whatever. And in the last 2 hours, they said, PvP is now live. Go have wow. fun. And what really sucked about it was it just was not enough time. It was, oh my gosh. I got to play about an hour of it. And
I completely missed it. I landed and I was ready to play. And when I got home, that's when they removed it. I'm like, no. Yeah, it was so bad.
It was so heartbreaking.
Let's welcome to the show. He's Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let's him host. It's good to be here. Danny, what's up?
What's up?
We're talking about some Halo. I'm just popping in now.
Yes.
A little casual Halo talk, Halo Infinite. Let's go.
So at the I was telling Greg, Tim, that at the very, very end of this flight that they it wasn't even at the end, actually. Because the flight ended around midnight, and then the beta didn't end until 10 a.m. the next morning. Mm-hmm. But they said, hey, PvP is live. And here I am thinking it's going to be available for the rest of the flight. No, they put it up for about an hour and a half. And every match, we're screaming at Mike, start the next game. He's like, I'm mashing the button. And then eventually that button could not be mashed anymore. And it was so heartbreaking. But it was so much fun to play against real people. And we lost most of our games, but they were so close. And we won one. And it was, oh my gosh, it was so much fun. And I cannot believe that 343 somehow managed to capture the essence and excitement of the old Halo games in a way that feels just really genuine and real. And I didn't expect to be kind of really missing it. Like, I knew we were going to have fun, Tim. I didn't expect to, when the beta ended, and see that tweet and go, ah, fuck. Like, I really just wanted to play more Halo. And
back it felt to my shit so, life.
It felt so damn good. I think the improvements to the movement are enormous, because newcomers to the Halo franchise, much like Greg was earlier in the year, much like Nick was whenever we played Master Chief Collection, you get in there and you go, God damn, this feels real slow. I'm playing Halo 2 right now. I'm playing Halo 1. I'm used to sprinting and sliding in Apex and Call of Duty and all that stuff. I think the improvements to the movement are amazing. It feels good. It's just fast enough. It's not too fast. And the sound design and the soundtrack are just so godlike. It's amazing what they've done. I can't wait. I didn't expect to be this high on the flight as I am right now. And it's just boosted my expectations. Every map they released and every new map would have new weapons that you could try out. It was just so much fun, man.
And this is the first of many flights. So I think it's not going to be every month. So hopefully we'll probably play it sometime maybe like September, October, because they want us to continue to, you know, talk about the game and everything.
Yeah, they're getting good data. They're getting great data as well.
Yeah, you know? Now, I have to ask Tim and also Andy, how was it for you launching it for the first time and seeing the menu and hearing the music? Because I was getting goosebumps left to right, man.
That's the thing for me. It's just like Andy was just talking about how the flight was over and he was so bummed. Like, I am not that type of gamer, man. I am not this multiplayer guy. You guys know I don't even need to explain this. Like, I cannot believe I've never played a multiplayer beta in my life. And here's this test flight. It's not a beta. It's a test flight. It's like so complicated, so much shit going on. And I could not get enough, down to the point that I was doing games daily with Bless on Monday morning at 10 a.m. And I was up, I showered, I got down here, and it was like 9:10. And I'm like, I'm getting a couple matches in, man. I got emails I got to do, but this is my last chance. And I played every single match I could squeeze into that. And like when it was over and when it finally said like, it's just not loading, I was like, no, I need this. And I can't believe that. Like, Andy, everything you just said is so true. Like, they did it. 343 did it. And they did it with this tiny, tiny sliver of what the final game's going to be. Even just the multiplayer suite. Like, the way that they gave us the one map with the simple bots, with a couple weapons and stuff, and then over the weekend just kind of introduced, here's another map. We're upping the difficulty. We're adding the each level having the different abilities to kind of play with. I was just like, this is such an incredible experience that I can't believe it's free to play. I can't believe the crossplay works this seamlessly. And more than anything, I can't believe that it worked that well. There were a lot of little issues. I had a ton of problems with settings not saving, or anytime I would try to change certain button prompts, it would just straight up crash the game and all that.
Sorry, I'm Greg Miller, Kind of Funny. Greg Miller from kindoffunny.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned you had a bunch of different configuration problems, buttons not saving.
Yeah, you wonder why.
Is that why you played this like a complete psychopath? Danny, what is your read? If you were shoutcasting this right here, as you see Tim using a controller in one hand and a mouse in the other.
Tim, I was going to ask you, that looks uncomfortable as hell. I can't do that.
No, look, okay, guys. I can't
do that.
So I need to defend myself for 1 second, okay? This video right here is a proof of concept. It's the fact that it's allowing us to do it. Obviously, me holding the controller up like this as I play, this video was taken because Gia came downstairs for 2 seconds and I was like, oh shit, you're here? Hey, film this real quick, because I had no one else to show it off. Like, look, the radar, the whole HUD is like on the far ends of the screen. There's no way that this is the right way to play Halo. I understand that. That wasn't what this is about. This is about me bitching and complaining for years on this podcast that this is all that I want. Because I'm going to say it. WASD is stupid. It's stupid. Or ASWAD, or whatever the hell Greg wants to call it. It just, Andy, come on, man.
The truth.
Dude, it just doesn't work as good as an analog stick. No, it's not talking shit about PC games at all. I'm just saying there has to be a better way. I am not saying that that's the best way. What I am saying is, this PlayStation Move controller for the PS3.
God damn it.
No.
Real when
time.
Does it end?
It's time, everybody.
What is wrong with this? You got the mouse, you're aiming how you want to aim. Superior aiming, superior movement.
No.
You're
going to play. You want to jump? Cats and dogs Halo? Are sleeping together. This ain't right.
You're going to play Halo on a PC with a Move controller? What the fuck is happening right now?
I haven't yet, Andy. Okay, I couldn't find the USB mini to charge the thing. All right, and also the settings weren't working because it was a tech flight. Okay, but my thing is, I'm happy. All jokes aside, they want you to play the game how you want to play it, and I love that. The amount of options in the settings was unrivaled. I couldn't believe it. Even what they allowed us to see in this tech preview gives you such a good example of what this game is going to end up being when the time comes, whenever it actually comes out. And the fact that I was playing on Xbox a little, I was playing on PC a little, I was playing on PC with mouse and keyboard a little bit, and then my controller and mouse for a little bit, then just controller, like, seamless. It just worked. It just allowed you to do whatever the hell you wanted. It didn't matter if I stopped and then playing on my computer monitor and went over to my setup with my Xbox. It just took everything and I was just playing. And like, that's the promise that Xbox has been building for the last couple years, and it is now here with Halo, a Halo that feels like we all want it to feel, both Danny and you, Andy and me, And Greg Miller, this is everything you just said is so true. Playing Halo 1, yes, it was a chore. Yes, it was borderline unplayable for somebody that has never really played it before.
Man, I don't say it often. Tim coming in with the hard truths today. Everybody accept them.
But it is what it is, right? And of course, I'm not talking shit about Combat Evolved. It's one of my favorite games of all time. No, but you know, timing and all that stuff. But where we're at now, this has all of the feel and the memories and the things that I love so much about Halo 1, 2, 3, and Reach. But it does feel modern. Having that sprint, having the mantling, just the momentum of movement, the ways that you could be mobile and run around and grab the different weapons, but they still feel authentically Halo. I could not have been more impressed by what I played. The fact that there's bots. The fact there's bots in Halo that are fun to play against. Like, guess what, guys? I'm not good at this game. It doesn't matter. I felt like a badass playing against those bots because they weren't pushovers, but I was still beating them. And I was like, this is awesome. This is the best thing ever. And cool, give people the options to play these damn games how they want to play them. And you know when I had the most fun playing? It was when it was with Andy Cortez and Snowbike Mike. Friends hanging out, playing this damn game, because that's exactly what this is all about. The promise that we got at E3 a couple months ago was that we were going to be taken back to the old times of just hanging out with your friends playing this game. And we did that in the most modern way possible. It wasn't all of us crowded in our mom's like side room with like tiny little TVs with LAN cables and all that shit. No, or split screen. It was us with our own setups, however we wanted to be, communicating with each other, seamlessly playing a game that is modern as hell and fun as hell. And I can't believe they pulled it off.
And it's the idea for me that it's the new unified space for Halo to exist. And whenever I open a Master Chief Collection and I want to customize my Spartan, I just don't bother because there's 17 different Halo games or whatever. You know, there's like, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I think ODST are available in the Master Chief Collection.
Reach.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you're going through different playlists, you're swapping from different timelines. You can fix all that shit if you want. You can only play 2 or 3 or whatever. But I just love the idea that from now on, this is the place where Halo's going to exist. This is the place where my Spartan will be, that I have just one more daily where I got to do this. And if I get that, I'll have enough XP to get that color I really, really want, because that shader is dope as hell and it's sparkly teal with like the dope ass pink on the shoulders that I really want. You know, all that stuff matters so much to me. And it just feels, I don't know, it just feels like this is going to be the home from now on. And I love knowing that not only does it look damn good, it plays damn good. I don't know if it was an issue with the settings or not, but I set it to the lowest settings possible. And it sure didn't look like it. And it performed amazingly. I was getting like 120 frames on PC. I don't know, man. There's just so much to be excited about that I wasn't expecting to feel. I think after we watched those trailers at E3 and we're getting super hyped up and we see those, the 343 sort of multiplayer kind of previews that they're putting on, and it looks really exciting and dope, and you get the feeling, you get those goosebumps, but I didn't necessarily expect to feel it that way while playing. I thought I'll play a couple games and get tired of it because it's Halo, and I'll go play Apex or Valorant or whatever game I'm playing right now. But damn, like, I didn't expect to miss it this much, straight up, and everything just felt like it needed to feel.
You know what's the scary part? That this game is going to be different in a year from now. It's going to be totally different with new modes, new levels, new everything. So they're still going to be adding new content all the time. Now, the question I have for you guys is, being that this is a free game, does it need a battle royale, or you think it's good to just have the multiplayer and a couple maybe new things there and that's it?
Les and I talked about this a little bit on Games Daily earlier this week, but I don't think they need it at launch, and that is a sign of character growth for me, because a couple of years ago, I was very much on the side of like, Halo needs Battle Royale, it needs to compete, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. The industry's changed, and Halo Infinite has changed since its announcement many, many years ago to where it's at now. Its soft announcement many years ago of when we didn't even really know what it was. But looking at it, I will be shocked if we don't get a Battle Royale mode at some point, but I don't expect it immediately. And I do think that there is a higher chance than I ever would have believed of it not being its own separate vertical in the Halo universe, but instead just being in the same way we think of Slayer and we think of Big Team Battle and all the fun game modes like Odd Job, or not Odd Job,
Warzone,
Oddball.
I'm a Warzone, Oddball.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, Oddball, King, Warzone. Yeah, King of the Hill and things like that. I see this as kind of like a Big Team Battle equivalent of just a different mode that comes up in your matchmaking that you might play, and you can choose that playlist if you want to go into that. But I think that there it would be an insane missed opportunity for Halo with this gameplay that we just played in Infinite, with what the vehicles that we know and love that are going to come in the final version, for there not to be a battle royale at some point. But I don't think that it's contingent on the success of this game. And I think if anything, that is down the line. They're nailing the multiplayer suite so far. They just got to nail the campaign. Battle royale's a later conversation.
Dude, I'll say this right now. Like, I don't, at this point, with how positive I feel like we all are and the internet sort of feels, like, I didn't see anybody who tried out this thing online feeling bummed out about it, feeling negative about it. It felt like it kind of hit with everybody in a way that I wasn't expecting. And now I'm like, dude, honestly, the campaign can kind of like be whatever at this point. I didn't expect to feel this way. I thought the campaign needed to hit in a significant way in order to make me excited for Halo at all. But just this weekend... this weekend has done it for me. Like, I'll play the campaign and I'll have fun, whatever it is going to be, and I'll run through that whatever how many hours. But damn, like, I don't know. I just it kind of caught me off guard with how positive I felt.
Here's the question I want to ask. Mainly, I'll start with Danny, but I want Andy's impression on it too, and then Blessing on the back end, even though you didn't play this flighting. Danny, you're talking about playing Apex and that, you know, you're out there, you're shooting stuff. You're out there, you're protecting the payload. I know about Apex. Mm-hmm. And the question I would have for you is, do you think Halo Infinite is going to come along and be like the shooter of the fall? Is that going to pull you away from the other ones you're playing? Is it going to be able to push people, you know, not even to give a second thought about Call of Duty or Battlefield?
Yes. And here's why. The reason why I love Apex so much is, I suck in Fortnite. I don't know if you guys play that, but I'm terrible in that game. And it's not
you
for
fit right
me.
In with us, don't worry.
Yeah, Warzone is not for me. That's not, I can't play that game. Apex is a game for me. I feel the same way about Halo Infinite. And the thing is, too, it feels different playing Halo Infinite and also Apex Legends to me. So, and I agree with Tim, the game doesn't need a battle royale. Maybe in the future, probably they will add that, right? But I'm okay not having it in there. Now, I do would like to see something like a feature where is more people playing against bots, not just 4v4, but like imagine multiple teams, right? Similar to like different squads in Apex, right? But now
similar,
there's
like
also
Big Team Battle style, or
Big Team Battle, but now with bots in there too. Like, I would love to see something like that, man. You know,
yeah.
Because even if, let's say, you get your whole kind of funny community right together, you guys play Big Team Battle, and now it's you guys versus the bots. I could see something like that, man. You know, we haven't seen that in any game right now. Back then, I think the first time I experienced something like that was Perfect Dark. The first time, right? And I felt that playing this.
Andy, same question for you. Like, obviously you're so entrenched in shooters, whether it be Warzone, whether it be Valorant, whether it be whatever you're getting into just to try something. Do you see this being like the shooter experience for you this fall?
1,000%. And I think a lot of that is not only due to the fact that I felt so comfortable and had so much fun, even in losing games. It's just the action was, it flowed so well. And I think that nothing's going to take me away from Halo this fall, especially after I was really looking forward to Battlefield 2048. And I still am. But after experiencing quite a bit of gameplay of Battlefield 4, which I had never really fully done in the modern time. You know, I didn't. Battlefield was always the type of game that I played the campaigns of. I played like Battlefield 1, and I never experienced Battlefield 4 at launch. But after playing Battlefield 4 over the last like month or whatever, it's not the pacing that I kind of want out of a video game. And okay. I am so excited for Blessing more so to try out Halo Infinite, because really? Again, when we talk about the old Halo games, and especially, I had already mentioned this, but when we played Master Chief Collection with Nick, it was this sort of like, wow, so there's no sprint. Oh, wow, man, my jump is like so long and it just feels like really slow. And then in the Master Chief Collection, we happened to play a Slayer game in Halo 4. And Nick was like, oh, this feels great because there's a sprint button, because it feels modern. It has that modernized FPS feel. And I am so excited for Bless. I think Bless is going to absolutely dig the shit out of this.
And we come then to the future class of video games, Blessing, Eddie Oye Jr., who was too busy playing, let me check my notes, Clue this weekend to play any of the Halo stuff. What is your excitement for Halo? Because you are a shooter person too, Bless.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. Yeah, I've been excited for it since, I would say, about like E3-ish, seeing all the reactions during the Microsoft conferences and kind of feeling the energy off of watching folks like Michael and Tim and Andy get hype for it in Paris, getting hype for it and talking about it and kind of having that community feeling around it. Because for me, the thing that's always kept me away from Halo is the fact that I've never grown up with an Xbox console. Xbox One was my first Xbox console. And, you know, even by the time I got one of those, I had missed the boat on the new Halo and Halo Master Chief Collection. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it this fall as an arena shooter. Like, I'm ready to go into it with no expectations in terms of just, you know, not trying to bring any baggage into it, not trying to look to get Apex out of it or Call of Duty out of it or get any sort of other shooter experience out of it. Like, I'm going into it knowing that it is its own thing. And, you know, it's that fun thing of trying to enter a community that's already been established, but then already knowing that from watching some of their E3 showcases, they talked about some of what they're doing to get in newcomers. They talked about some of the training stuff they're doing so that it'll be easy for folks to get in and practice, because that's been a huge thing, I'd say, for shooters recently. Like, you look at games like Apex and they have their firing range where you can get in and just shoot shit. Overwatch has a very similar thing. Mm-hmm. I'm super hyped to do that for Halo and just get in, try out all the different guns, figure out the game feel. And even hearing Andy talk about some of the ways in which they've modernized it that makes Nick Scarpino go, oh shit, I can get a grasp of this. That stuff makes me excited too, because I was watching a little bit of the stream that Tim, Andy, and Mike did on Sunday, and watching them play and seeing the grappling hook and seeing the movement of it and seeing all the familiar stuff that you expect out of a modern shooter, but then also seeing the Halo specific energy and Halo specific features of it, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to try it out. Like, I'm actually really hyped for it, and I hope it's one of the better shooters of the fall, because I feel like this is a pretty competitive fall in terms of shooters. But then also, I hope it's one of the best games of the year, because if it is, that means that I'm going to be able to play one of the best shooters of the year. And it's going to be a thing that's brand new to me as a franchise. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Tim, you know, jumping off that. What's up, Andy?
I was just going to mention that when we see the grappling hook in action in that first sort of single player campaign mode, immediately I go, oh shit, that's going to be a multiplayer thing. That's going to be dope as hell. We're all going to have grappling hooks. There'll be like a cooldown or whatever. And then when I heard it was just going to be an item pickup, I was pretty bummed out about it. I was like, oh, damn, that kind of sucks. But it worked perfectly. Like, it's exactly what it needed to be. It is the equivalent of picking up an overshield or an invisibility thing or a rocket launcher. It is a rare item that it'll spawn, and whoever gets it, gets it. And the moments that you can create, like, holy shit, man. It was so much fun watching all the crazy plays that people are pulling off on TikTok, where they are doing the thing from the trailer where they throw a grenade behind the rocket launcher. The grenade explodes. The rocket launcher explodes from its spawn, flies in the air, and the guy grapples it in midair, brings a rocket launcher and equips it and shoots a dude. This game just has those moments, dude.
Yeah. Andy, I'm watching these videos on TikTok just like you, and I'm pulling up Linkin Park's Crawling on YouTube just so I can play it to take me back to those AMV days. You know what I'm talking about? Absolutely. No, but I love that you said that, because honestly, that was literally just the exact same thing I was about to say. There are choices made in Halo Infinite multiplayer that I didn't expect, even from seeing those trailers and getting so hyped from it. And the grapple hook thing is exactly it. This game, playing it this weekend, made me realize something that I hadn't before. And again, this might sound silly for me to say, because I am not the shooter guy necessarily. I've always had fun playing Halo. I played with my friends that were all way better than me, but I understood it. I just wasn't good at it. So what was fun there for me is looking at it this weekend and realizing it's everything I love about that game, Killer Queen. that the arcade game that I've been talking about for years at this point that's now on Switch and on other things, where it's just so fun because you're with a group of people. And that, for those that don't know, it's this 2D game, one screen, and it's 4v4, 5v5, depending on how you're playing it. But there are multiple ways to achieve victory. And the idea is you're either this little grunt guy that can run around and you're like faster than other people, but you can't really attack anybody, or you get an upgrade. You can shoot people and kill them, but you can't pick up things, or you're the queen and you can attack and fuck people up. You're super mobile, but yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Barrett. But if you die,
it's the game that broke the studio.
Yeah, exactly. If you die three times as the queen, you lose. The whole team loses. If this dumb snail creeps its way to the end, you lose. Or if you get a bunch of these dumb berries and get them back to your base, you win or lose, depending on what team you're on. Mm-hmm. Halo has that same mechanic built into it with the power weapons. You can run around with the weapons that you just spawn with, and you're kind of just the guy that's just running defense, like kind of causing shit, running amok. Or you can go for the sniper and set up, and you're going to become a target, but you're about to wreck shop for a long time. But now with the addition of these abilities being these limited use things, that becomes a new target where you can either go for the grav hammer, which is like this epic weapon that you're about to rack up a ton of kills if you get it, or you can go for the grapple hook and you only get a couple shots. There's cooldown with it and you're limited to how many times you can use it, but it is a choice you're making that you're doing that instead of going after the people you just saw or going for one of the other power weapons. And I love that in an arena based game, at least so far from what we've played of these three maps, there's so much choice in your play style that you're kind of committing to a lane that you're to hey, Andy, Pokemon Unite, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But you're committing to this kind of like type of character that is a role that you're playing within your team. Almost, right? So while you and Mike were running out there doing all this crazy shit, I'm just kind of running around with the AR and pistol, like doing my best to just kind of like distract and like kill as many people as I can without dying. But it's like, I think that that's the magic of Halo that isn't necessarily there with a lot of the other games that really kind of are all about time to kill and getting out there and mowing as many people down as you possibly can. There's just like a different level of, I don't even want to call it strategy. It's just more like gameplay option that you can kind of play this game how you want to, and it's incentivized, but you need to make sure you're playing with your team and that you're not overdoing it, because there's only one sniper. You can't, like, whether the other team gets it or your team gets it, only one of you has it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really, really, really cool thing that is, as far as I have played, and again, I'm not a shooter guy, it's pretty uniquely a Halo experience.
Correct. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I guess you could do that in a lot of older games, right? But like in Call of Duty, you have your loadouts. In Apex, you obviously it's a BR, but you know, depending on what you're usually able to choose your weapons, as opposed to I need to go to that spot to get that special power weapon. And if I'm not there, if they take it first, this could get out of hand because they could quickly kind of get on a roll here. So you need to kind of control those power weapons. And I kind of forgot that sort of rhythm of the way a Halo game actually plays out, which is why when a game ends, you see all your stats, your accuracy, which I love. I love that it shows you like you hit 48% of your shots or whatever. You had this many kills, this many assists, but it also shows you power weapon kills, because that's, again, for somebody who loved Halo my whole life and didn't play a whole lot of 5, but played enough, you know, I kind of forgot, like, damn, power weapons are so key in this game.
Yeah, you know, the part that I think we've also forgot to talk about is having the original commentary in the game. So hearing that double kill, triple kill, oh my God. It first of all, it reminded me a lot of the old school Halo, but also it got me super hyped. And I'm like, all right, I'm doing pretty good, man. Look, Tim, I'm not a pro shooter. Like, I'm good. You know, I can defend myself. Right? But hearing that while during a match, it felt like, oh man, I'm getting better and better. And amen, it hyped me up even more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and plus the AIs, right? I think you're touching on something really important here, Danny, where in a world that I think oftentimes either relies too much on nostalgia, where you're watching a movie trailer and they're just playing the movie theme of the old thing, and it's just like, okay, cool, that's all you really have here, or it doesn't rely enough, like things like Space Jam Legacy or A New Legacy or the Mortal Kombat movie that came out this year, that's like, why aren't you using the songs, guys? Like, this is what we need. Halo Infinite seems to be kind of doing the perfect thing, which is like, yo, we know that we have something special with the announcer and with the music and with all the different call outs they do of the triple kill, Killtacular, like all that stuff. Like, we want the old ones, but we want new ones too. We want the Steaktacular. We want like all this fun stuff. But adding the AIs as well, like adding the Over Yonder and like having like the different, you being able to personalize it, as well as music kicking in the multiplayer matches, like halfway through the match, like once you're down to the final 10 kills. It's like this game is being made by people that fucking get Halo. They get what made the old one special. And I don't think it's just a nostalgia thing. I think that this is something that other games are lacking, is like this level of hype in every multiplayer match, making it feel like it's a movie. It's a cinematic experience. You are in a war right now and you're fucking feeling it. Like, when it's the final, when that music kicks in, if you're ahead, that's giving you that momentum shift. It's some WWE shit. We were just unstoppable, unstoppable. You're about to use your special, you know, or you're on the other side, you're losing. It's just like, oh, guys, this is it. We got to get together. We got to come back. And like, oh, I fucking love
it. You know why? I remember when Halo 2 came out and I was asking everybody the same question. Okay, what are you going to do first? Are you going to play the multiplayer or are you going to play the campaign? Every year we're asked that question right now. That Halo Infinite is coming out, and we got a sneak peek of the multiplayer. Do you see yourself playing the multiplayer first, or you're curious enough to start the campaign first for you guys?
It's so funny, Danny, because early on it was all about the campaign, and then as Halo went on, when like Reach came out and ODST came out and 4 came out, maybe even possibly 3. A lot of those were times that my friends and I were all getting back to somebody's house, so we would immediately boot up the multiplayer. Because by that point, I don't know why, I had just kind of like, I don't need to play the story right now. This is not mission critical for me. I'm not kind of going, you know, Twitter silent because I don't want to see Game of Thrones spoilers. This wasn't that for me. It was just, I just want to get into some matches with my friends, because we've been looking forward to the new version of Halo because that new map looked cool in that one Game Informer preview or whatever. For the new one, it depends on how the servers are functioning. Because like, true. With any modern game, there's always server issues and you're probably going to have trouble getting in. But damn, like, I'm still really looking forward to the campaign, and I want to experience it and see what it's all about, because it just feels like sort of a new stepping off point, you know?
Yeah, totally agree with you. I honestly think I will go with the campaign, because I just see myself playing multiplayer nonstop for a very long time. But even last, when the first day it came out, the flight, right? Like, I tried to download it and I couldn't download it until the next day. It was just like the servers was being slammed. It was getting slammed. So, but yeah, I think I'm going to try out the campaign first. What about you, Tim?
I'm a campaign guy for sure. I mean, honestly, the thing that complicates it the most for me is the most first world problem of all time, which is like the content creator thing, where it's just like, if it was up to me, we wouldn't get this game early and we'd get a squad of 4. And once this game came out, we would start playing and we wouldn't stop until we beat this motherfucker, right? Like, that is the Halo experience. I did that with 2. I did that with 3. I did that with Reach. It's like, come on. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I don't think that's necessarily going to be as possible this time. So despite that, though, campaign is what I am interested in first and foremost. But I think that's more because that's the thing that is that topical conversation at the time, and like, honestly, that is the thing that is going to differentiate this between being like the best game Halo game of all time and oh man, that's the best Halo multiplayer of all time, but the campaign was kind of
yeah. You know, I'm very excited to see people like Blessing and also Greg, for them playing it for the first time, you know, like, I can't wait to hear their thoughts and everything, man.
Before we move on too far, I wanted to ask this a while back, but we had so much good things to say that we kept going. What are the things you don't like about what we experienced this weekend? Because I have very, very few. The quick ones I want to say are, I don't like how the radar works, and that might just be, I'm afraid of change and I like how it used to be, but I like how it used to be that if you're moving at all, you show up on the radar and you had to crouch walk to like be hidden. And now it's like, if you're sprinting, you show up, but otherwise you're hidden. And I'm like, that seems a little too fast for what Halo quote unquote should be.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because the sprinting is like barely faster than the standard running speed.
Yeah.
For me, I think the bots, I don't know. People say it was difficult, the Spartans. I just didn't find it difficult at all. I wanted more of a challenge for me.
No, thank you, sir.
No?
Tim does not agree. That is not how
really? I mean, look, when we played, me, Andy, and Mike were playing as they updated the Spartans, and there was clearly something wrong, because I had my best game against the Spartans as opposed to the
ODST.
And I'm like, yeah, there's something wrong there. I don't trust it. They got harder as we kept playing. But I like the bots. And look, obviously, I'm joking around to an extent where it's like, I love that there are different levels. And it reminds me a lot. I was saying this to Bless, I think, on Games Daily, but it reminds me of Smash Brothers, where I play that game. I've played that game, iterations of it, for decades of my life with my friends, and we play it competitively. I probably play that game competitively more than any other game. Having said that, I play that game mostly against bots and mostly against the different levels of Smash Brothers characters. And I like that a level 7, 8, and 9 AI in Smash mean different things that Smash players understand. If you're practicing different things, you use different levels. And this Halo really kind of showed me like, oh, they get that and they know that. And the ODST and Spartans acted differently enough with clear like paths of how they do things. And it's like, oh, they're incentivizing you to use different levels to practice different elements of this game. And I think that that's really, really cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you.
When it comes to things I didn't like, I mean, it's small stuff that I think just takes getting used to, because we are so accustomed to what Halo looks and feels like. I think that it is a little too tough to find some of those items, like the grappling hook, like the... I just feel like whenever you see the sniper in the middle area of that first map, or the overshield on the bottom of recharge or whatever the hell that, like, those are very much very obvious. Here is an item, I am an item, come pick me up. The grapple hook is a little bit tougher to find. You can hit the Z button when you're playing keyboard mouse, and that'll scan around you and kind of do this, you know, environmental scan to show you where the different things are. Yeah. And that, I never quite got used to that mechanic, and that just, maybe it needs to become habitual or whatever. But I really wish you didn't get unzoomed when you are shooting long range. Mm. And that's such a uniquely Halo thing, because in other games, when you are sniping or you are zooming in, when you get shot, you stayed zoomed in. But it's always been a Halo thing to, like, when I'm zooming in, if I get shot, it takes me out of my zoom. And I feel like that's one thing that we can modernize and bring up to sort of a current standard of what happens in video games when you are zooming in. So that, I found that kind of annoying, because I did want to be zooming in with my BR and I'm getting shot at, so I keep getting unzoomed and rezoomed or whatever. Man, aside from that, there wasn't a whole lot that I really, aside from the bugs, like, those are just stuff that they're just going to fix, because this is very early. But
the one other thing that I had in addition to the radar was just how the battle pass progression worked. I love the idea of the challenges, and I love the idea of how much they're thrown at you, and like, they're really just incentivizing you playing this game and having fun. But the way that you only got level up experience if you did a challenge, as opposed to just playing or killing or like doing well in the game, I thought was a little bit weird. And I kind of feel like they're going to change. And maybe I'm just super off on this, because this isn't the normal type of game I play, but I think it's weird that like, just playing a match doesn't necessarily boost your experience at all, you know? Like, I kind of feel like if you have a really good game, if you didn't do any of the challenges, you don't get any experience. That's kind of weird.
I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. It's got to be sort of challenge based, where you are getting, you know, 5 rocket kills, or, you know, 2 melee kills, or you know, behind the back assassinations or whatever.
Yeah. And like, it's a simple fix, I think, too, because at least from how I experienced this, like, you do get experience for every match you play. For the most part, it was like, there's always like, you know, 1 out of 3 matches gets you some type of experience or whatever. So 3 matches will get you X amount of experience points. But I feel like just kills should get you, even if it's just a small number, just to get that bar moving, it would just feel better. Cause like, there was a couple matches I'm like, really? I didn't get shit from that? Like, that kind of sucks.
I didn't level up. What the hell?
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to be able to level up against playing bots when the game comes out?
Well, sure, why not? I think it should. Yeah.
I'm hoping so. I hope that that's not something that they decide to no longer do.
I think you'll be able to, because I think that this game, at least how it's presenting itself so far, is I think they made a really good, strong statement that it's not like Halo leveling used to be. This isn't 1-50 where you have to play ranked and you have to be better than everybody else. It is more kind of incentivizing you playing the way you want to play and having fun and, you know, kind of having a good Halo time. And I think that that isn't necessarily taking away from the highly competitive people. They're going to still have their ranked playlists and still probably get the most out of the game for what they're looking for. But I just think there's so much that this game has to offer. Even just this one weekend, the amount of things they added and the amount of different play styles and fun that was to be had. I definitely think that they're keeping that in mind.
I wanted to just show this clip because this is just one of those cool ass fucking grapple hook moments that I had while playing with this squad. It's a little bit past it. It already passed Barrett. It's like maybe 15 seconds behind. Just the movement feels freaking fantastic. And when you are in a groove and seeing enemies and locking on, and it's, you get into that rhythm of shoot, 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 melee.
Oh my God.
And it's just,
that's awesome.
It just feels dope as hell, dude. Like that momentum. And I didn't, it works very much like Pathfinder's grappling hook in Apex. Okay. It's the exact sort of same physics where it's not like Widowmaker where you just zip up to that point. It very much is like, I could shoot to that sidewall and kind of do like a wide swing.
Yeah, you can kind of Spider-Man it a little bit.
Yeah, Snowbike Mike has mentioned seeing players like shoot up at a certain area, and sometimes you can swing underneath a level at some moment.
Underneath like a bridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And kind of like do some James Bond shit. Like it's crazy.
Do you know the name of that level that you showed?
Recharge.
So that's the level that I feel like I've been playing better than the first one that they released, the first level. I was a monster playing that level. Oh my God.
Did you play the third map, Danny?
No, I didn't play the third map.
Oh, okay.
Third
map was pretty neat. Bizarre. It introduced the rocket launcher. It introduced the sonar item where you shoot it at a wall and it does this sort of like a Hanzo sonar arrow where it shows you anybody in that area that's kind of hiding behind walls or whatever. So you can kind of know where the enemy is coming from and get prepared. And that's kind of huge because if you're able to do that and shoot a rocket at a doorway, and if there's people near there, they are going to get hit and you'll likely get a double or triple kill. So I think they just laid it out kind of perfectly to introduce a new map that also had new items and weapons to try out. I never got to try out the shotgun, unfortunately, on the first map. I picked it up after somebody killed me, and then I got killed again, and then I lost it.
You're immediately down.
Yeah.
Understandable. Been there many a time.
Yeah.
I feel like you gentlemen can talk about Halo Infinite forever, and I feel
like there's going to be a lot.
I didn't want to go for the puns. I feel like there's a lot more to come. Obviously, kind of funny, XCast still coming up this week. They have an XCast already up about Halo impressions. I'm sure they will have more. Obviously, Tim, I feel like this will be your game for the fall as we lead into GamesCast and Holiday.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So for now, ladies and gentlemen, let us say goodbye. Kind of. Remember, if you go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now, well, not right now. If you're right now, you're watching live, so I guess it counts. But right now, when you get this, you can get the post show we are about to do over there. Of course, over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad free. You can get that post show. And you can support us as we continue to make content and kick our microphones around. Of course, if you don't want to give us any bucks, no big deal. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week to get a brand spanking new episode of the show. Danny, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thanks for the invite, and I definitely want to play with you guys once the game comes out, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I saw people in the live chat shouting out on Patreon saying kind of funny gamer tag crossover for when it happens, for sure.
Let's do it. You know, back then we used to do the battles all the time with different sites, so we got to do the podcast versus podcast.
I want to get like the big team battle sort of team going.
Oh, that would be sick.
Danny, where can people keep up with you?
My Twitter account, Godfrey. I'm very active over there. And also Gamertag Radio. Just search for us on every podcast platform. We're out there. And yeah, subscribe and listen.
Fantastic. Before we go, Corey Cudney already has done an edit from Kind of Funny Games Daily. I see that Barrett Courtney has it.
I was going to play this for the post-show kids exclusive.
Oh, well, I'm not. Okay, fine. Then we'll save it for the post-show kids. Don't worry about it. Then until next time, let me tell you, of course, it's been our pleasure to serve you. But remind you, of course, to get vaccinated. More than 160 million people in the United States have received their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The available vaccines are safe, effective, and life-saving. If you are age 12 or older and haven't been vaccinated yet, you can text your zip code to 438829 to find a free vaccine near you. In many locations, no appointment is needed, and you can even get a free ride there with Lyft or Uber and a free ride home. So everybody go get vaccinated, huh? What do you say?
And a little less important in some ways, but way cooler in others. I want to give a shout out that you might have gave earlier, but I'm doing it again anyways. This Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, The Blessing Show returns with a 20-minute long special. Go check it out. Go support it, because I can't wait to watch it myself. I know they've been working on it a long time, Blessing and Roger, but I don't really know what it is, and I'm excited to watch alongside you guys. 9:30 a.m. Pacific this Thursday.
They were stuck inside that Atlanta football stadium, just working on it day and night. Delaying it. Yeah, crazy.
Oh, God.
All right, we got a post show to do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, but until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.